I went to school at the University of Oregon just 1 year. 1972 was the year. I was on exchange from the University of Massachusetts. A kind of exotic travel for me, my first time ever on an airplane at that time. The frozen tundra of western Massachusetts had lost some of its appeal. I was looking for any kind of a different experience. I'll never forget my advisor when I told him I wanted to leave UMass and go to school in Boston. He told me, "Don't trade a headache for a stomach ache." Well, I've been able to apply that little rule of thumb many times in my life. But going on exchange was a terrific time in my life. I still have friends, probably like you do too. I go all the way back to those college years. What was Eugene like in 1972? Well, everybody rode bicycles, and I didn't waste any time getting a bike and riding along with all my new friends. Today, I've made half a dozen trips to Eugene to visit Bike Friday. So I thought it was time to sit down and share some of the story with you. Today on the Frank Peters Show, I've got Alan Scholes, the founder of Bike Friday. Let's listen.
Well, my name is Alan Scholes, and my current company is Bike Friday, or better known as Bike Friday, but it's actually Green Gear Cycling. And I am a entrepreneur, and I'm what's called a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, you said this is your current company, so what are some of the notable companies that preceded Bike Friday?
I can start way back. I had a business with my father. I had a bicycle shop. I had several bicycle shops, and then I had a the one most people will probably be familiar with is I started and ran for many years Burley Bike Bags and then Burley Design, and I'm the designer of the trailer and a bunch of stuff that happened at Burley.
And at what point in your life were you doing all this, Alan?
All my life. So, like I said, my first business was with my father, and I was 11. It was actually his business, but he decided he was going to be in business with his son, and so he called it Al's Electronics. And we're talking about the days when you brought your television set to a guy, and he changed the tubes for you. That was my dad. My dad had a whole bunch of Hewlett-Packard repair equipment, and he would fix your electronics. And it was as a sideline. He was he had a PhD in horticulture, and he simply put himself through college with his electronics background, and he had taught during the war. And he gave me my original boost in business, and I learned quite a bit from that, and it allowed me to move forward in a way that a lot of people I see don't realize they can.
Nobody's repairing TV sets anymore, I don't think.
I don't think they even replace boards in them anymore. I think that they're a throwaway thing, and you probably don't want to get in the back of one of those flat sets anyway.
So throwaway, that's a good segue to talking about bicycles. The bicycles you're making here, well, that's one place to start. You're making the bicycles right here in Eugene.
That's true. And actually, the Eugene mayor likes to say, here is somebody from Bike Friday. They ship bicycles to China. And so I told her that at one point, and it's like, that's kind of fun to say, because most bicycles typically come from countries with a lot of inexpensive hand labor, and we have always designed and built ours here in Oregon. In fact, we usually say made in Oregon rather than made in USA, because Oregon has its own cachet above and beyond what the USA is, I think.
It certainly does. And how long? A little bit of the facts and figures of Bike Friday, Alan?
Well, Bike Fridays is part of a serial piece. So I actually had an awning business where I built commercial awnings in Atlanta, Georgia, of all places, in between after Burley and some other stuff. So while I was there, I was robbed. Somebody came in and robbed my home and took all my bicycles. And part of my bicycles were a tandem that was built for me when I was married by a friend here in Eugene when I lived here. And I went out to replace it, and I couldn't afford a tandem. And so I actually, my brother and I set up a joint venture with Burley, who I was not working with right at the time. I had left Burley in the early 80s, and we did a joint venture making tandems. And we said, you sell them, we'll figure out how to make them. So that's how I got in the bike business. And that was in the late 80s, 1980s. And then in the 1990s, about 92, Burley was ready to take it in-house. And my brother Hans had been working with folding bikes for a while because we both were really into having travel bikes. We always thought somebody would do it, but nobody ever did make a good bike that traveled easily by air or whatever. So in 1992, which I remember that because it's 500 years after Columbus, we made a travel bike that he would have liked to head with him, I'm sure. We made a travel bike that made it easy to travel with and was a rideable bike rather than just a folding bike that was useful but not a real bike. So Bike Friday has always filled that niche for a travel bike. And so since then, we've made road bikes, touring bikes, tandems, recumbents, all of which have in some ways gone into a suitcase or a way to travel. And more recently, we have graduated into some new stuff, but bicycle related. Our love really is to make things for use. And one of my cherished possession is a award from BTA, the Alice B. Toklip's Award for making things for cyclists. The award is very simple, but that's exactly what I've done. But I've mostly, both my brother and I have built stuff for ourselves. So the original Burley was to build trailers for my very, very, very young children. that's what the travel bikes were for too, is that we wanted something to travel with, and bikes were hard to travel with in the 70s, but they got really hard toward the end of the 70s and into the 80s because airlines, of course, made it very expensive. You had to pack them. You had to bring them before everything else, and they didn't always get on. So if you wanted a bike to go with you, it better fit in a standard suitcase. And that's Bike Friday was the first people to do that.
Where are some of the places you've taken a Bike Friday, Alan?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm less of a traveler than my brother was. But so most of mine have been domestic, but I have been to Australia for a Bike Friday gathering, and I have been to Japan for a Bike Friday gathering, and I've been at quite a few places in the United States and ridden my Bike Friday. So every time I go, I'm reminded about how much easier it is to have something designed for traveling as opposed to trying to make a standard bicycle fit the requirements for commercial travel. So we keep doing it.
Now, when I got my first tour of the factory downstairs, we're here in Eugene today, I was so impressed as I got walked around to see the actual craftsmen. Is that what you call them?
I guess you would call them that, yeah, for sure. Although our actual production method is the Toyota production method. But the individual folks who make it work, since we're a small factory, they have to know a lot more than more different skills than you would see in a larger factory who would divide them up into smaller pieces. But definitely, yeah, when somebody comes in here thinking of a Bike Friday and they go back there, they realize that we have elves making bicycles for Santa Claus because they're one of a kind, they're really cool, and there's a lot of handwork in them.
Let's talk about your customers. Is there a demographic? All kinds of people like Bike Fridays, I'll bet.
Well, it makes more sense to say all kinds of people like bikes. Not all kinds of people can justify them to themselves to buy a custom bike, and we're kind of stuck in the middle. Our bikes are not real expensive custom bikes, but they are built using the Toyota production method to make them one of a kind. And so they are a little bit more expensive because we're a small builder here in Oregon. But that said, one of my favorite stories recently, 8 or 10 months ago, of a couple from Australia who took their Bike Friday tandem on honeymoon to the highest road in the world in northern India. So it's like, well, honeymooners, they're in their early 20s. I would have said a number of years ago that our core customer was probably near retirement age or retiree and wanted to do some fun stuff out in the world, and they needed to travel to do it. And as we know, older folks now are much more physically capable than they used to be at that age. And so they're active. That's the right word. That's what I meant. Yes, active. So we now have some new bikes that actually fit different demographics too. We have cargo bikes that fit young families, which is, of course, my background with Burley was I was really into young families when I had a young family and needed a way to take them places. And I'm not sure I could have afforded a car, but I never thought of myself as poor. I didn't want a car. And so I had skills and capabilities, I guess, that the average person didn't, and maybe some persistence and stubbornness. And I made them for my kids, and I subsequently made them for many kids. And now the world has several businesses that have made copies of that trailer in one way or another. So it's like kind of the Kleenex of bike trailers, I think, Burley trailers. And that makes me proud. But that gives you an idea. It's like I consider babies my demographic too. Even though their parents often buy it, of our new bikes, I think the parents that buy them are going to raise kids who ride.
What's it been like to operate your business in Eugene's very bicycle-oriented community?
Well, one of the reasons we chose Eugene, or I should say Eugene chose us, is it is a smaller community. It has a college in it, and it's bike-oriented. I have to say there was a lot of luck in that. I chased a girl here is how I got here, so I just found out it was good when I got here and went farther with it after that with the businesses, and then went away for a while and then came back because I realized how good it was compared to other places. So it's important to have support of your community, and it's been a last, I'm going to say at least 40 years, maybe more, very hard to build consumer products in the United States. Things like bicycles have almost totally gone away from being built in the United States for many years. And one of the reasons that we're in Eugene is that we had enough support and it cost little enough to live here that we could afford to build here and still stay in business. And during a time where the bike industry is probably decreased by 80%, very few manufacturers have been left here. You still have some brand names that look like they're from here, but very few of them are from here.
So your customers, they identify with that?
Well, some do. That's an interesting thing about our business is that we get to interact with a lot of our customers. And some of them start out just being interested in the hardware. What we do is unique. But when they find that out, some of them are delighted. Some of them are pleased, but it doesn't make their decision for them. But when they actually interact with people at the factory, everybody likes that. I mean, there's something about belonging that is harder to do nowadays. When I was a kid, well, I didn't get to take part in this, but in my first bike shop when I was in my late teens and early 20s, people belonged to my bike shop. So the local club. And so belonging is something that they're trying to do at Walmart or at Home Depot when somebody greets you at the door, but they don't really remember you and know your name. We, on the other hand, are still one of those places, and I used to have a bank that was like that remembered me and that sort of thing. We are one of those places where people belong here. They know people here. When somebody moves on, they're hurt. When somebody visits their country and doesn't say hi, they're hurt. So it's kind of interesting in the fact that a lot of that is serendipitous from Hans and I first orienting around what was called world-class manufacturing in the 80s. But we were some of the early adopters of what's called lean production now, which is the Toyota production method taken to its ultimate. And its ultimate is what's called one-piece flow, and it makes the customer what they want. It's actually got a name that most people don't relate to. So think of it this way. It's built to order. A lot of companies are doing it now. You can get a pair of shoes from Nike that way. You can get jeans from Levi's.
Oakley's.
Okay, yes. So the idea of doing that, we were one of the earlier ones, but and one of the very first in the bike business, because we started doing that in 92, 93. So I'm kind of going far afield here, but that fills in a little bit of why what we do is different, is that customers can belong. And one of the things that many of us have done as we've gotten older is we've moved away from our families. And so humans, of course, developed to have not just a partner or not just to be single, but they usually had a clan or a group. And they didn't raise their kids by themselves. They had uncles and aunts and grandparents around. And so having something to belong to. And so customers tell me they're riding down the street in this town in Costa Rica, and somebody sitting in the cafe yells, "Hey, Bike Friday," and they make a new friend. And neither one of them are from Costa Rica. They just meet because they can identify and they know they belong and they have the connection to the factory and they don't think they'll be rejected. Try to do that with any other brand. It's hard to do, especially big brands where you don't know if people identify with the product the way you do. But at Bike Friday, they very commonly do identify that way. And of course, we know cyclists are, they typically like other people, but they definitely are love to talk bicycling to other cyclists and where have you gone, where are you going to, and all that sort of thing.
So let's change gears a little bit. I first met you and came down to visit, and I came away with a sense that a generational change is occurring, right? Your daughter is about to take over the business?
That's true, in several different ways. So it's not just a generational change. The company has been on a mission, and in this case, Hannah was the core of that mission. My daughter Hannah was the core of that mission when I was doing Burleys. So I made my first Burley for her when she was 6 months old. And I can still see that. So anyway, the generational piece is more than that. It's just moving to her, but I'm actually in partnership with her. And so a lot of what's going on is actually outside in the world, changes are taking place like that too. And people my age are not at the front edge of that. Millennials and younger who grew up with computers more than we did, and certainly cell phones and smartphones and stuff, have changed the way the world works. And in that process, I've learned that as you get older, there is, not intentional, but there is a bias from young people to old people. And I probably had it when I was younger. And it makes sense that a company adjusts along the way. And so we have younger people here in the company, and we have Hannah, who is of the right age to kind of see both directions. And, of course, lots of energy. And in this case, she also holds a lot of the same mission-specific reasons for building bicycles for people in the United States or in the world who understand it's, I think they don't call it a carrier, indicator species in environmental work. They call it indicator species. When you bicycle, you start to think about how you care about the environment and people around you. And so Hannah actually grew up and didn't have a car and built her house and where she lives so she has solar collectors and has very low impact lifestyle. And she kind of realized quite a bit later, in fact, fairly recently, that she was in a position to help other people with that through bicycles, just like what we were doing already. So a little long-winded, but basically the transition is because she has a lot of energy for that, and it's the right thing to be doing. We started Bike Friday because the way it is for travel bikes, because that was the market we could address. The one that she's looking to address is much larger and much more specific. Back when my brother and I started, we couldn't think about dealing with that, and in fact, a lot of the world really wasn't there yet.
succession plan is the phrase I was thinking of earlier, Alan. And you and I and Hannah have sat down together a number of times in one of your conference rooms or another and done some brainstorming. Just let the ideas flow. One of the things I've observed is you handle those new ideas, even if they are kind of nutty, pretty well. You're a pretty open-minded guy.
I guess that's a good way to say it, although I wouldn't call it complete. I have enough experience with being able to make things that weren't available before and to find out about things that even before the internet, I was probably the most voracious reader I know. And you can't read a lot if you judge as you go along. Put yourself into position to hear new ideas, and you're like me, who's an experimenter. You try stuff, you're often surprised how wrong you were and how cool you could make something. Once you tried it, you realize, oh, no, that's actually not impossible. And so a lot of it comes from that, I would say. So open-minded by intent. But I have to give credit to my parents, too. It's like, for whatever reason, they didn't ruin that either. I know some people are just taught to be something. And I've never thought of myself as being any particular. I figure you need to make decisions yourself. And if you don't know how to make a good decision, you should research it until you can. And even then, you don't know enough to know that you know enough. So I believe that open-minded is only limited by time. You can't actually try everything, but certainly you should consider it. And if my brother and I, when we started the company, our agreement always was we could talk, we could have opinions, but the person who did it got to decide. And based on that, we didn't always agree, but the other person often proved to us that something else actually was right, and we didn't really get it until they showed it to us. So open-minded's pretty important to be. It's not the same as the wind blowing through it, I don't hope, but nevertheless, an important feature for anybody if they want to continue forward in future.
About succession plans kind of imply retirement, Alan. Maybe you see yourself staying involved every day, or you got some, you're working on a bucket list, a bicycle bucket list. What are some of your ambitions for the future?
Well, retiring doesn't make sense to me. Working less makes sense to me. Retiring, from what I've learned from people who do retire, is because they're doing something to make a living that they don't necessarily relate to. I relate to working less, but I don't relate to retiring, because I have to tell you, and this will probably make me seem weird, is I have made so many new products in my life that what I do when I'm by myself, I don't meditate. I actually am designing in my head. And I'm not sure when I started doing that, but I wake up almost every day with something I need to go see if it works in metal. And I don't think that's going to necessarily change. My brother and I were a little different. My brother liked to design stuff for himself. I like to design stuff for myself that others need too. So I doubt if that's going to go away anytime soon. And I think that actually is also something where partnering with my daughter will be good, because she doesn't have the same aptitudes I do. She has much stronger ones in areas that I'm weak in, and her design ones are, she can recognize a good product, but she's not pulled to the shop like I am. So I think I'll probably stick around as long as I'm useful to her at some level.
Sounds like fun, Alan, really. Stay engaged. Creative. Sounds pretty good.
So if retiring means having fun, it's like, yeah, I want to have fun too. Although I will say that the exciting part really is being able to do it with my daughter. And I have three daughters, and I think I'm blessed to be able to work with one of them that way. And I actually am able to work with two, and I also have a little business with my wife on the side too that's related also. So they're all, maybe you consider them dabbling, but they keep that part alive.
Keeping you engaged, keeping you on your game. Well, Alan, I've enjoyed getting to know the company and getting to know you too. Thanks so much for being on the show with me today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure for me to meet you. And Frank, I hope that we will learn more together, because I can see you're open-minded too.
Thank you, Alan. Well, we're back in the studio. Before I say goodbye, can I lure you to come visit the website? It's cdmcyclist.com, where you'll find about 60 other bicycle podcast interviews waiting for you there on all kinds of subjects. Come on by that, cdmcyclist.com. Well, until next time, thanks so much for listening, and good night.